In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to another episode of the Harmony Goal Podcast. And once again, our podcast was formed primarily to highlight the lives of people that are doing wonderful things for other people, making this a better world to live in, and along the way, creating more harmony. And today, we are honored to have Gail Garcilon with us. And Gail is numerous degrees. I mean, the list of universities just is incredibly impressive. And she has taught school for 25 years and says she loved every moment of that. She has lived in seven different states and is always looking for new places to go to experience new things. She and her husband raised two wonderful daughters who have their father's passion for making the world a better place. That in itself fits right into our podcast, and I am so glad to have you here with us. So Gail has always been involved in the community wherever she lives and loves to meet new people. She currently lives in Coppell, Texas, and her passions include reading, traveling, reaching out to people who are less fortunate, and any kind of social justice issues just get her excited. She loves spending time with her six amazing grandchildren and continuing her husband's legacy. So Gail, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today, because I know you're really busy with so many different things, especially this thing called the Glenn Garcilon Foundation. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your foundation and what the foundation is and what it stands for.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me, Tom. I really appreciate being able to speak about the Glenn Garcilon Foundation and the work that we do. Our mission is to empower and support brain tumor patients and their families by awarding grants to help with expenses that are beyond their means. Our goal is to ease some of the financial burden that often adds to the stress a brain tumor patient is faced with while they're going through treatments and learning to navigate this disease. Our grants allow the patients and their families to focus with less distraction on the treatment and quality time with their loved ones.
Wow, that's amazing, because it's one of those things that you just don't hear about, and to know that you're doing all this work for that. How did the foundation get started?
Well, my husband Glenn and I retired in 2001, and we decided to move to Portland, Oregon, and spend our retirement years there. So we were enjoying retirement. We had plans to travel. We were getting involved in our new community with volunteer work. And then in September of 2008, Glenn was out running, which he did every day, and he suffered a seizure and fell flat on his face, suffered severe trauma. And because of the facial trauma, they did some MRIs and found that he had a brain tumor. Mm. He had not had any symptoms. He had felt really good. And then bam, he was diagnosed with a glioblastoma, which is always a stage four brain tumor, which means it is fatal. And his tumor was inoperable because of the location. So because they couldn't take any of it out, we were told that he probably had 9 to 12 months left. And he went through chemo, he went through radiation, and we actually had him with us for 3.5 years. So he greatly surpassed the doctor's expectations. It was a devastating diagnosis, of course, and then losing Glenn was terribly hard. And my daughters and I, Glenn passed away in 2008, and my daughters and I in 2010 were still navigating our new lives without him. Mm-hmm. And we decided we wanted to do something to honor his life. Mm. Glenn had been very, very involved in the community. He did an amazing amount of volunteer work. He started a reading program in an elementary school between his employees and the students from low-income families there. He gave blood on a regular basis. He read books on tape for the blind. He worked for FEMA for 30 years, helping victims of disasters. So he had always given. And that was the life that we wanted to honor. And during his treatments, we saw so many people who were in not only horrible physical shape because of the brain tumor, but we could also tell that they were suffering financially. They typically would show up at chemo or radiation and had no one with them, you know, so they were alone. And the girls and I decided that that's what we wanted to focus on. We wanted to provide financial assistance to those who had lost everything because of this diagnosis. Oftentimes with a brain tumor diagnosis, the person can no longer drive. If they're having seizures, they get their license taken away from them. Mm. So they have to rely on others to get them to treatment. If they don't have anyone that can do that, then they're having to ride the bus or Uber or whatever. And that's an expense for them. Beyond that, for people with a grade 3 or grade 4 brain tumor, they more than likely can no longer work. So they've lost their income, which of course makes matters even worse. And then coupled with that, with especially stage 4 patients, they have to have full-time care. So usually the spouse has to quit their job in order to become a caregiver. So all of a sudden they've gone from having income to pay their bills to having nothing. And then they are concerned about staying in their homes, keeping the lights on and those types of things. So that's what we wanted to focus on, was helping people with those bills that they can no longer take care of.
That is absolutely amazing. I don't even think about that. When you hear about a brain tumor, you hear that phrase and then it's over, but you don't realize the impact, the ripple effect impact that that has through their life and everybody around them. How old were your daughters at this time?
Our daughters were in their 30s at the time.
So they were able to.
So they had young families. You know, they were having to not only be with their children, but also be there with their dad, you know, as he was dealing with this and then passing away. So it was very difficult.
So you had him for an extra 3 years that the doctors said he wouldn't be here, and yet you now got to really experience what the families go through in the process of dealing with somebody. It sounds to me like there might be a lot of people out there that have a need for some sort of assistance. What specifically can you do for them, the people who need this, the financial support to continue to go?
Well, we have a grant application process that needs to be completed, and we review applications on a monthly basis, and we take into consideration what the need is of that individual by looking at their income prior to this diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And are they still working? Are they unable to work? Did the spouse have to quit their job? And then we help with bills that they submit. Might be rent, mortgage, utilities, car payments, insurance. We have provided transportation to their treatments, if it that be by bus fare or taxi or whatever. And we have also provided lodging. A lot of times they live in a small town and their treatment center is 3 hours away. And that means that if they're going for radiation, which is 36 days, they would have to make that 6 hour round trip drive every day for 36 days.
Oh.
And radiation takes so much out of you. So we have numerous times provided lodging near the treatment facility so they can stay right there during those 36 days and not make that drive back and forth.
Wow. Again, you hear the phrase brain tumor. You don't realize that that is part of that whole process also for the recovery.
Yeah, it's devastating.
Wow. Wow. And is your foundation, is it a 501c?
It is a 501c3. We became that designation in 2011. Mm-hmm. And then started issuing grants in 2012.
Wow. You've been at this a while.
Yeah.
And a lot of love thrown in there. I could feel that. That's amazing. Well, how do your candidates find you? In other words, you're out there. I had not heard about you until I was able to attend one of your fundraisers. And so how do people find you?
Well, that's a good question. And in the beginning, that was our question too. How are people going to find out about us? And one of our board members is a neurosurgeon. And I remember one of our early board members, said, I don't know how people are going to find us. You know, I'm really worried about that because mm-hmm. here we, you know, are want to help, but don't know how that word's going to get out. And I remember Dr. Hunt saying, don't worry. As soon as the social workers find out about you, you will have applications coming in. And that was very true. The first year we gave 2 grants. The second year we gave 3 grants. And very slowly it started ramping up. And so it's word of mouth. Our events, like you say, we have new people come to our events every year that, are invited by someone else. So they find out about us. And it's getting involved in the treatment facilities that mm-hmm. are helping brain tumor patients that the social workers start hearing about us.
So for the various events, I would assume that they can get those from your website.
Correct.
And yes. we'll share with the listeners before we finish today about what your website is, because this is such an incredible gift that you're giving to the world by changing one or two lives out there and making somebody put a smile on somebody's face. That's what this is all about. This is great. So are your grants primarily local, or do you branch out into other states, or is it primarily in Texas? Or
We have given grants in all 50 states, plus Puerto Rico. So as long as they are living in or receiving treatment in the United States or one of its territories, they are eligible to apply for a grant.
Oh, that's great. How many grants do you typically give now annually? You said you started out with 2 and then you got to 3, probably feeling really good about that 3.
Yeah.
Where are you today?
In 2022, we gave 169 grants.
Wow.
Yeah. It was an amazing, amazing year. That compared the previous year, 2021 was 67 grants. So we more than doubled the amount of grants that we gave last year.
How do you wipe that smile off your face when you go to bed at night now?
Well, you know, I feel so good about being able to help that many people. But what that also means is that, you know, we have to be very diligent about our fundraising, because mm-hmm. without our, you know, that we can't fund grants. And so it's a little worrisome when we start receiving that many grants or that many applications to wonder if we're going to be able to fund all of them.
Wow. I imagine that's why one of the hardest things is to turn down an application.
Well, we have only done that once.
Really?
Yes, we have given 600 grants total, and we've only ever denied one. So
wow.
We feel blessed that we have been able to help every single person that has asked.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. When you've given a grant then, at some point after that, do you have any mechanism to follow up and see how that affected somebody's life or what positive impact that had?
You know, it's very important to us to have a relationship with our grant recipients. We don't write the check, put it in the mail, and never contact them again. So we send a birthday card to every grant recipient every year. That's 600 cards a year now that are going out. And we send a card to every grant recipient annually on the date that they were diagnosed with the brain tumor patient, honoring them as a survivor. And then we invite them to attend our events if they live in the area where our events are being held. And we have a number of them that have attended every single time that they've been invited. And sometimes it's phone calls we make to stay in touch. If they pass away, we send a card annually to the family, letting them know that we have not forgotten their loved one. So relationships are very much a part of the Glenn Garcelon Foundation, and we have made some wonderful friends through the work that we do.
So you could probably use not only financial help, but physical help. I mean, I'm just sitting there thinking about doing Christmas cards. And what a task that is. It's like, oh, God, I love sending cards, but it's a process to go through.
It is. And I did all of that myself until this past year. And we have been very firm since we started that we would pay no salaries. We do not have a brick and mortar office. We want the money going where it's needed. So, you know, we have not hired any staff to help me, but we have an amazing board, and they have stepped up this past year when I finally said, I can't do it all. So they have taken over a lot of that, which has really helped me.
Wow. How did you find your board members? I mean, this sounds like a devoted group of people.
Some of them have been on the board since we started. Mm-hmm. A number of them were family friends that I knew would be committed to the cause. Mm-hmm. Then we have a few that worked for Glenn. Mm-hmm. And adored him, and I knew that this would be something they would really jump into, which they have. And then it was important after a number of years when we were going to add more board members that we found people who didn't know Glenn, you know, mm-hmm. but had a connection to someone with a brain tumor and understood how important the work we did was. One woman I ran into just randomly in Colorado, and found out that her best friend and the mother of another best friend had both passed away from glioblastomas. And she became so committed to the work that we did, and we eventually asked her to join the board. And our newest board member is the widow of one of our grant recipients.
Nice. Wow. So you know her heart is in it.
Very much so. And obviously, she happens to live in Coppell. So she's doing a lot of volunteer work for the foundation now, in addition to her board member duties. So
to be on your board, you know full well that their heart and soul are completely and totally involved.
Absolutely.
That's how the work gets done.
It does get done. That's it.
Well, I mentioned just briefly before about raising money, you know, like obviously you have to find some way to get those dollars into the coffers so that you can make these grants. What are some of the activities that you do? Or what are some of the fundraising opportunities that you give people?
Well, in addition to just outright donations that we receive from, we have an amazing group of supporters. We have our recurring giving program, which we call Circle of Hope. And mm-hmm. we have, I think, 38 members of that right now who give something on a monthly basis to keep money flowing in at all times. Mm-hmm. And we have a donation button on our website where people can donate. We have received numerous memorial fund set up when a grant recipient passes away. By the family will set that up with donations coming to us. But our main form of fundraising is our events that we hold. And we hold 5 events a year at this point. Hopefully we're going to be adding more before too long. We hold an event in Portland, Oregon called, it's a benefit dinner called Taste of Hope. And in Phoenix, Arizona, the event is called Denim and Diamonds. It's a dinner dance. It's held every March. The Portland event is in June. In April, we will be holding our 12th annual Juan Garcelon Foundation Golf Classic, which was our first event. And so we're very excited that this will be our 12th year. It's a very successful event. We also do a Taste of Hope here in Texas in the fall. Mm-hmm. And Denver, we do Taste of Hope. We will be holding that in September. So we have 5 events that bring in money to help us fund these grants. And that's so important. We have people that attend every single year, and every year we have new people attend, like you attended for the first time last September, Tom.
Yes, absolutely. And what a wonderful event. Oh my God, it was fabulous. It was, if the listeners ever get a chance to attend one of these, it's great. They have the silent auctions in the baskets that you had this year. I was drooling over everyone.
Yeah, we had, our silent auctions are very popular every year. And you know, we want to have baskets that people are interested in bidding on.
Right, right. Well, trust me, you do. And I was thrilled to see that. And, but you know, like when you talk about these events, and I go back to thinking about, you don't have a brick and mortar, you don't have a place for people to gather, you're all working out of your homes to do this. I can't imagine just planning a wedding that way. You know, much less all these events that you're doing. How do you coordinate all of that? And I know this
it's a challenge sometimes, because our board members are located all over the country. You know, they're not all here in Texas. And so thankfully, we have a board member in Oregon where we hold our event. One of my daughters used to live there, but she moved to Texas a year ago, which I'm thrilled about. But we lost our chair of that event when she moved. In Colorado, one of our board members lives there. So she has been the chair of the committee there. Our Phoenix event is very interesting because we had this woman who had a brain tumor attend our Denver event for a couple of years. And she did not need help, financial help, but she came to our event and supported us. And then she moved to Arizona. And 5 years ago, she contacted me out of the blue and said, "Gail, I want to do a fundraiser for the Glenn Garcelon Foundation here in Arizona." So I got her set up with all of the paperwork she would need. And she just does denim and diamonds every year in Arizona and raises money for us. So she's not on our board. We did not ask her to do this. She, out of the goodness of her heart and knowing the important work we do, she chose to do this event every year, and it's very successful.
Denim and diamonds. What a great name.
Oh, they come. You should see how they dress. I mean, all the bling and the cowboy boots and the hats, and it's a fun night.
Fun night and doing good for people. Yeah. Watching those grants grow every year.
Right.
That's fabulous. I don't know when you find time to sleep.
Well, I do manage to get some, but it's, you know, it's what's in my heart. It's what I want to be doing. And I have a great support system. And so we get it done.
So it's your gift to Glenn and Glenn's gift back to you again.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's beautiful. So let's talk a little bit about your website. What is your website? How, and I'm going to ask you to spell it out slowly.
Okay.
Because as people are listening to this, I want them to get that, because if they can help put a smile on somebody's face that is associated in any way, shape, or form with brain tumors, we want them to be able to help out in some way. So your website is?
It's glenngarcelonfoundation.org.
Okay.
That is GlennGarcelon Foundation, and then .org.
Got it. Definitely want people to go there. And when they go there, will they find a donate button somewhere on that particular website?
Absolutely, right on our home page. They will find that donate button. But I would encourage them to look at the rest of our website. There's a story about Glenn. We always have a story about one of our grant recipients on our home page. There's our events page that lists what our events are and the dates of them and the locations with details about each one, pictures from our previous events. And then we have a whole page dedicated to our grant recipients. We have pictures of all 600 of our grant recipients. As well as a special in memoriam section for those who have passed away. Of our 600 grant recipients, we have lost 200 of them.
Well, you say you've lost 200 of them, but you gained 200 families.
Absolutely.
Who are just
perfect. Yes.
Will never, ever forget what you've done for them.
And you know, I had a phone call this morning. We have just issued our January grants, and I had a phone call this morning from one of our grant recipients in Florida to thank us for the grant that he received this month. And I mean, he was in tears. I mean, it was just, he was so emotional, letting us know how much they meant to him, that, you know, we had reached out and were helping him pay his mortgage so he could stay this time, in his home.
Yeah. This time it's tears of joy.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, tears of joy. Absolutely. Well, now I know how you sleep at night. If you go to sleep while visualizing those smiles on people's faces, that's, I can see that that's better than melatonin.
Yes, right.
That's great. Well, Gail, is there anything else you would like to say to our listening audience before we finish up here?
Well, I would encourage you, first of all, if you ever know someone who is diagnosed with a brain tumor, now you know a little bit about what they might be going through. But I also want to talk about benign brain tumors as opposed to malignant. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you have a malignant brain tumor, you have brain cancer. If you have a benign one, you have a brain tumor. And people tend to believe that if you have a benign brain tumor, you're just fine. You know, and I have had people, some of our applicants, recipients tell me that it's a stab in the back when someone says to them, well, you don't have cancer, so what's the big deal?
Oh.
But it is a big deal because the deficits from any brain tumor can be horrible. One of our grant recipients, who I've become a dear friend with, has a meningioma, which is just a brain tumor. It's not malignant. She cannot work. She had been a TV producer in Atlanta before this diagnosis. She can no longer work. She has a great difficulty walking. She has memory loss. So don't ever tell someone with a benign brain tumor that they're okay because it's not cancer, because it can be just as devastating physically, emotionally, and financially as brain cancer.
Wow. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, because I know our listening audience will be have a new awareness that they didn't have before. That is amazing work you're doing, and I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate you changing the world for the better. The news media out there just gives us all the ugly, ugly, ugly stuff every day, and you are doing beautiful things to put smiles on people's faces, changing the world for even one person, much less their entire families and friends. And you are creating more harmony in the world with that process. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate the work that you are doing.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And Gail, I encourage everybody to go to the Glenn Garcian Foundation.org. And we spelled it out. If you need to back up your recording to get that spelling, we want you to go there and make a donation so you can put a smile on someone's face too. So thank you so much, Gail, for being here. We appreciate
Absolutely.
That. So for the rest of you, please tune in again next week for another episode of theharmonygoal.com. And it is the Harmony Goal podcast that we're highlighting people that, like Gail, are putting a smile on people's faces and making a change in the world, because we know we need a little bit more harmony in this world. And please donate to her foundation. And if you like having this high news, good news on the air, you can also contribute to our website. And you go to our website, which is theharmonygoal.com, and you could subscribe there, send us a message there if you'd like. And if you'd like to make a donation to keep us on the air, that would be fine too. But the Glenn Foundation, I think, is the highest priority here.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.